Blog Talk Radio.
If you haven't been with us in the last couple of days, I encourage you to go back and be a part of the programs throughout this week. We're at one of those points in the ministry right now where we are going in to a new place in God and a new understanding. And of course, every time that happens, it causes you and I to go to a new place in God, and it causes us to get in and dig out the truth, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees in John chapter 8, when you know the truth will set you free. And, you know, but you got to know it. That means you got to dig it out. You got to receive it. And when you get some new truth, you got to do all of the effort of meditating it till it gets down inside of your heart. And I continually am working on that here. And I do my best when God gives us a couple of verses to stay in those verses, stay in that thought process for a while. I stay till the Holy Spirit tells us to do something else. Because there's only one way to be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's only one way, and that is open it up, read it, believe it for what it actually says, and then walk it out. There's a lot of people that read their Bible. There's a lot fewer people that actually believe the Bible. And there's even fewer yet who actually believe that God meant what he said. But I'm glad that you and I, at every step of that, can look and say, no, we are entering in, and we will find all of our place in God that's ours to find. And so glad to have you along with us. Now, tonight, I've been getting a really interesting understanding of God this year, coming up to Resurrection Sunday.
Battery 40%. Connected to Samuel's Mass. Let's go.
Hold on a second there.
Battery 40%. Connected to Samuel's Mass. Let's go.
Oh my goodness sakes alive, just work. Wow. I've been coming to a whole new understanding of God this year, and the Word of God. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's not that you didn't know it before today, but it's all of a sudden it seems important to you. I don't know whether that's the right way to say that or not, but one of those things is the revelation that the Jewish day runs from sundown to sunup. And you might say, well, you know what? What's up with that? Well, when you get a proper perspective of the Word of God, then you get a proper understanding of how things are working. You know, it's like I was reading last night, the other day, that post by Brother Terry Mize about Easter and about Good Friday not being Good Friday, but it's Good Wednesday. And Good Friday is the holiday that was created to give people another afternoon off and keep people confused. People didn't read their Bible, so they didn't know. But, and I don't want to get into all that tonight, so we're not going there. But very specifically, it is important for us to understand the events of the Bible, how this is written, and their time schedule. You got the first watch, the second watch, the third watch, the fourth watch, and their day began in the at night when they went to sleep. That was when their day began, and it ended at sundown. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with our spirituality? Well, not a whole lot. It helps you translate what you see on these pages much better, so that you can have an in-depth understanding of the things of God, and that you would come to, it would help you in your interpretation of what you read. The more we learn, the more blessed we will be, the more revelation will come, and the greater our victory will be. And we're going to kind of deal with a little bit of all of that right here tonight. So, this is, right now would be the ending of their Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, because it's almost sundown on Saturday. The Sabbath runs from sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday. So their Sabbath is almost over. And, you know, then it says Mary, early in the morning, came to the tomb, right? Now, tomorrow, or on the first day of the week, is when Jesus rode in on a donkey, the colt that had never been ridden. And it was the first time he actually gave everyone permission to say, Hosanna, in the highest, and to name him the Christ. And of course, he's entering into Jerusalem now, and he won't be leaving. He's there to suffer and die for you and I. And so tonight, we're kind of going to do all of that in one night. And a triumphal entry eve service. I think it's going to be good. I think you're going to enjoy it. And I've been studying diligently this seated together with him in heavenly places. I've been studying it diligently, and I'm not going to stop until that revelation expands to every cell of my being, and I have a grasp on this that is beyond anything I've ever had before. And I'm glad that all y'all are with us. So welcome, YouTube. Brother Roger is over there. Hey, Wayner dude's with us. How you doing, brother? Love you too, man. And Uber Donkey. So tomorrow, we've already got it set up that Brother John is going to ride through Tampa on a donkey. The donkey will be there for you in the morning, John. Well, I really don't have anything big planned for tomorrow, but we will be with you tomorrow, and we'll be talking about the things of God, and we'll be talking about the triumphal entry and all that it means. And so it's just going to be a great time together. Now, I want to read again Brother Terry Mize's statement on when Jesus was crucified. Now, let's go there and let's read this for a minute. Let's read. Hold on, let me find this verse. I didn't put this in my notes. Because at first, Matthew 12:40. Somebody shout, I love the word. Matthew 12:40. Remember to be praying for President Trump and this trumped up charge that's against him. I have seen a lot of legal reports on this. Even people who have no care for Donald Trump at all. And every one of them are saying this is a violation of our Constitution. And Rob Blagojevich was one of them that said it. I don't know if you remember Rob Blagojevich. He was the Democratic governor who went to prison for racketeering or something. And he said, what they are doing is absolutely wicked. And it's a banana republic. Democrat that was calling all Democrats to come forward. He wasn't leaving the Democratic Party. And so you and I got to just speak against it. Pastor, how do I do that? This violation of our Constitution must be brought to justice by the greatest judge of all the earth, God our Father. And that's how you pray. And then just say, in Jesus' name, bring it to justice. God executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Here we go. Matthew 12:40. Verse 40. 38 and 42. Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He answered and said to them, and even an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. No sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? 3 days, 3 nights, I'm going to destroy this place. And they repented of their sin, and God heard their prayer. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the center of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here, Jesus. Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon and received it. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Yeah. Now, I need to say something. John just made a statement, and it caused me to think this. Now, wait a second. I want everybody to know something. I didn't ask you to vote Republican. I didn't ask you to like Donald Trump. I didn't ask you to like what their trumped-up charges are. I didn't ask you to do that. This is a violation of our Constitution to trump up a charge that is really not illegal. Hush money is not illegal. And then call it a felony or call it a misdemeanor. And because it's a misdemeanor, we'll make it a felony. And that's exactly what happened to Rob Blagojevich. And he spent time in prison. And it's just wrong. Some of the greatest lawyers of our day, I've been watching. I've seen them on Fox, on some of the people I trust, this program. And they're all looking at, they're Democrats. They're very liberal people saying, this is not right. This is absolutely illegal. And this should not be happening, and America is in great danger if we don't stand up and change it. And so everybody knows, I wasn't asking you to be a Trump supporter. I wasn't asking you to vote Republican. It's not about that. It's about our Constitution is on the line. Thank God that it's going to be on, it's going to stand. God gave George Washington, former president, and our first general, a vision. He said, all the world united could not prevail against us. Now, you and I will take that fight that he spoke into the realm of the spirit. We won't have to fight it in our streets. But if you and I, the people that believe in God, must go to war seriously, because if we don't fight the battle and win spiritually, then it will be in our streets. And we don't want that. We've been able to keep the battle, the necessary battles that had to be fought off of our shores for years. And, ever since our founding, and we're going to keep it that way since the Revolutionary War. So as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the center and the belly of the whale, so Jesus will be 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. Now, I'm going to read this from Brother Terry Mize. Brother Terry Mize is not a great missionary and a man of faith and power. Brother Terry is a very good Bible student, and he understands the Bible very, very, very well. And so I trust his expert study. I don't know how to say, I'm missing my words, but anyways, I want you to hear how he puts this together about the events of the last week. I command you apps to work in Jesus' mighty name. There we go. So, 3 days in the center of the earth. This is from his Facebook post back in 2019, I think is what it was. All right. Easter or Resurrection Sunday repost. And he writes, some of my friends are really interested in me writing a note, a post on this vast and extremely important piece of Bible history. Remember, Bible history, God writes it in advance. That's called prophecy. But I have hesitated to write on this forum of Facebook because many purport themselves to be friends and Christians. And the truth is that there are many imposters here. And therefore, you can end up casting your precious pearls before swine. And Jesus said, they'll turn and rend you. Easter or Resurrection Sunday, as I have said, is the most important holiday or holy day to Christians, and the absolute foundation and cornerstone of the entire Christian religion. It is what we base everything we are and that we believe on, namely the resurrection from the dead of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pause for a drink of coffee. As I said, God writes history in advance and writes it very clearly. Here the dilemma is addressed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 21. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? The scribes and Pharisees had argued for years about the resurrection, and Paul used it against them several times when they were trying to stone him. Paul just got them fighting between themselves about the resurrection of the dead. Pretty much can just walk off and say, well, there, they'll fight about that a while, and I'm going to be on about my business. Now watch. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you there's no resurrection? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith also is vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Well, I lost my place. Don't look away. That he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you and I are still bound in sin. And I'm sure every one of you that's here tonight that's been with us for a few times can say, my sins are forgiven. I am free at last and free indeed on the inside. Therefore, it has to be true that Christ raised from the dead, because I know my sins have been redeemed and put under the blood. Then they also are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, and Jesus was that man. Now, just pause for a minute. I'm going to read a couple verses here for us, just to remind us what the Bible actually says, because thank God for Brother Terry, but you got to read the Bible. Thank God for our teachers, but you still got to read this Bible for what it actually says. Philippians chapter 2, and this is verses 5 through 10. But I'm going to just stick with 5 through 10 and 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Father, Son, Jesus, equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of the death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow of those in heaven, those upon the earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 13. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. This is what Jesus did when he was in the grave. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. So, we were dead in sin. We received Jesus and were made alive. Having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, contrary to us, taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Back to Brother Terry. Hold on just a second. I got to add to my notes here. God is willing to have his veracity, his truthfulness, checked out, even tested in this area. And he makes that clear. Even though Welcome back, Brother Dan. Let's make Sister Leanne a co-host, in case I'm going. Even though many in Hollywood and politics and other walks of life believe and even say that Christians are mental midgets and are people who park their brains, Ted Turner and the illustrious Jesse the Body Ventura, the ex-professional wrestler and ex-governor of Minnesota, have said that Christianity is just a crutch for the weak-minded. Keep in mind that the Ventura made his living off of the weak-minded as a phony, a fraud, a deceiver, as a pro wrestler. An admitted fake says Christians are deceived and weak-minded. Amen, Brother Terry. Help Ted Turner and Jesse Ventura to find Jesus and be born again. The fact is that Christians are not ignorant, but intelligent and brave creatures to see the invisible, believe the incredible, and do the impossible. The fact is that Christians are not ignorant, but intelligent and brave creatures to see the invisible, believe the incredible, and do the impossible. Thank you, Father, for that. When the Pharisees came to Jesus, they said, "Show us the sign." Jesus said, "There will be no sign but the sign of Jonah." He then interpreted the Old Testament passage of Jonah being 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale as but a picture of the one test to which God would submit to prove his veracity and that he would keep his word, namely the death and resurrection of his son Jesus. Now follow this through. Prophecies for centuries had declared that after 3 days, he would come out of the tomb with an explosion that's still rocking the world today, that made the Richter scales run wild. God would submit to that and to that alone as proof of his ability and his faithfulness to his word. In this simplified Facebook explanation of this great historical miracle, let us establish and remember a few facts or rules we must deal with. First, let us look at the facts and the drama of the Jewish feast days. I think it's interesting. Thank you, Brother Dan, for putting that in about welcoming everybody. Bless you, man. God designated the feast days or the set times of the Lord as the vicarious sacrifice pointed to a day to come when the one worthy enough to redeem us all would be offered. These set times of the Lord were shadows pointing to more significant events. First was the Sabbath, a specific day of the week in the Old Testament, but transferred to an act in the New Testament. Sabbath came to typify the day when faith could save. The other set times were Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. These are the feasts that the Jewish people were commanded by God to keep. All of these feasts were pointing to Christ, who he is. Intelligent Christian, watch these Jewish feast days for significant meanings. This is so amazing. Stick with me. One of the greatest proofs of nature is the struggle recorded in the first century and the attempts to keep Jesus from being crucified on the Passover. The scribes and Pharisees were trying to kill him all through his ministry. The first day of Jesus' ministry, when he stood up in the temple and you read in the synagogue, when he sat down on the seat of the Messiah in the temple, the synagogue, and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." On that day, the first day of his ministry, they tried to kill him. Not his time, but they still tried to kill him. Jesus' disciples wanted him to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, "No, my time has not yet come. The set times of the Lord are shadows cast prophetically, leading to a real substance." Watch this. If you follow a shadow to its origin, you will find the substance casting the shadow. Paul said the feast days were prophetic shadow pointing to the substance, Jesus. Once the substance is here, there's no reason to be found or to be stuck in the shadow. You don't need a shadow hug when Jesus is there and can hug you physically. Here's where God had to write history in advance. Jesus had to be the Passover lamb before he could be first fruits and unleavened bread. In order for Jesus to be the fulfillment of these feasts in order, in other words, to be the Passover lamb and the first fruits, God had to cause this in a year and a week when Passover had to occur in a week when exactly 72 hours would go by before first fruits. He would be crucified. He would be the Passover lamb. And 72 hours later, first fruits would happen because Jesus was the first fruits of those resurrected from the dead. So God's got a very specific timetable he's got to match. The set times or feasts were not by our calendar, but by the Jewish calendar, which was based on the movements of the moon. Like our months, Hebrew months could begin on any day of the week. Now listen to this. Passover was always the 14th day of the first month. So it could also be on any day of the week. Unleavened bread began the next day after Passover, the 15th day of the first month. First fruits was the first day of the week, our Sunday, following the beginning of unleavened bread. Now just follow it. Unleavened bread began the next day after the Passover. So that made it the 15th day of the first month. First fruits was the first day of the week, our Sunday, following the beginning of unleavened bread, which was the day after the Passover. Jesus said that not only, that the only sign God gave was the sign of the prophet Jonah, that he would be in the tomb 3 days and three nights, exactly 72 hours. Paul said the feast were shadows pointing to Jesus. He was our Passover, so he had to have his blood shed, spilled, paid on no other day than Passover. He was the first fruits of those who rise to life eternal. So he had to rise on the first day of the week following Passover. Those are the elements God was dealing with. So listen, this is thrilling. As history marched on year after year, God had to pick the exact year where all of these feasts would fall on the right days. Wow. He does write history in advance. This could not have happened the year before or the year after. God had to send Jesus to die on Passover. He had to become the sacrificial lamb Passover. Anybody want to just stop and shout hallelujah, amen, glory be to God? I think this is a major. Amen. Amen, folks. So here we go. He had to be taken down, put in the tomb before sundown to become the feast of unleavened bread. He had to rise exactly 72 hours later, and it must be on Sunday, the first day of the week, in order for him to become the first fruits of the resurrection to give us hope of the harvest to come when we shall rise. Our bodies will be taken, if we die here, we'll be taken to heaven. The graves, those are, I'll get it, 1 Thessalonians. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with it. For God to be accurate, and of course he is, there was no option. He had to pick the time and have this fail-safe, vicarious sacrifice brought to the point of dying as prophesied in a year when Passover occurred on a Wednesday. Stay with me. The old church idea, he died on Friday at noon and rose Sunday morning at 6 a.m. That's only 42 hours. Here is what actually happened. The Jewish day begins and ends at sundown, 6 p.m., 24 hours later. Hebrew calendar based on moon phases, first day of the week equals our Sunday. Saturday sundown until Sunday sundown. So it's like the first day of the week is about to begin. Now you guys, most of you in the Eastern time zone, you're already dark. So the first day of the week has already begun. The Sabbath is Friday sundown till Saturday sundown. Passover, always the 14th day of the first month, is springtime. Unleavened bread began the next day, the 15th day, and runs 7 days. First fruits is the first day of the week, our Sunday, following the beginning of unleavened bread. Pentecost means 50th or Feast of Harvest, 50 days after first fruits. After Jesus rose, the disciples had 50 days to be in the upper room in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets will blow for the rapture. The voice of an archangel. The trump will sound. The Day of Atonement in tribulation, Israel will recognize the one whom they pierced, the Day of Atonement. The Feast of Tabernacles will be kept every year in a restored Jerusalem. There is no dual covenant. Now, Jesus had the Last Supper or communion on Passover or Passover feast with the disciples on Tuesday night after sundown. Passover had begun. They came to the garden, took him Tuesday night, beat him, tortured him, tried him Wednesday, and crucified him, and he died and had to be taken down and put in the grave before sundown Wednesday as Passover ends. Therefore, he became unleavened bread from sundown Wednesday to sundown Saturday. The Jews still hide unleavened bread for the kids to hunt and find for 72 hours or 3 days and then take it out again. Saturday at sundown, he came out of the grave. He rose. He became first fruits. The words early light we tend to believe is sunrise is translated as twilight. 50 days later, Pentecost or Feast of Harvest, at or after sundown, 3,000 souls had been saved or harvested. I hope that helps. Thank you very much, Brother Terry Mives. The Holy Spirit is definitely with us tonight, isn't he, John? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Sinless and innocent. 3 days. Now, why did you read all that? Well, there's nothing wrong, I guess, if people celebrate going to the, having a Good Friday service. I don't know. But ever since I got this revelation, I've never been to another Good Friday service because, like, why am I going here to talk about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection when he's already in the tomb, he's already there, and we got to get our doctrine right? Then, of course, we come to eat Christmas and say, well, Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day either. So, here we go. Anyways, don't argue over useless words. It just helps you to be able to understand the events of the last week if you're actually reading your Bible and trying to make it all last till Friday, because it won't do it. You can't make the Bible say that Jesus died at noon on Friday. You just can't do it. It does not work if you're actually reading the actual historical events in your Bible. So why are you giving it to us, Pastor? Well, because we got to realize that God is not a God of imaginations. You have an imagination. But, hey, David Horton, welcome. Good to have you with us. Sister Rebecca, it's good to have you. I didn't see you over here.
People don't really read the Old Testament that much. They care that very much about things. But the actual Passover deal regarding the kill the lamb and that father, the angel would pass over when the blood was on the... Well, the thing is, they were supposed to pick the lamb that they were going to use and take care of that lamb and be good to that lamb, feed it and love it and everything for 4 days and then kill it. Well, it's the 4 days between the Saturday is when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and then 4 days later was that Wednesday they had the killing. Okay, he was treated very nicely and admired and everything for 4 days there. Okay, but anyway, that's a whole long sermon, but I love it. Anyway, I had to throw that in there.
All right. And of course, at the triumphal entry, they began to sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Now, I want to do something, and listen, this night is going to take, it's going to have the biggest curve you ever saw because of everything that we're going to stay and do and study tonight. So I want you to stick with me because it's going to be fun. Get your Bible out. And let's go now to help me, Jesus. I thought I had it right there. Anyways, I got to find the triumphal entry here. Must be in Luke. Chapter 19, verse 28. And you know what Phyllis was just saying there? That was when Herod tried to kill Jesus. Yeah. Luke 19:28 is the beginning. It's in Luke. And we're going to read this about the triumphal entry. I want you to watch for specific facts, revelation of the Holy Spirit, and let's get our minds, because Jesus is getting ready to enter in. Now watch. 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, then he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are loosing it, thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. As they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? They said, the Lord has need of him. And evidently they said, oh, okay. Then they brought him to Jesus. They threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And he went, and as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And as he drew near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep quiet, the stone immediately would cry out. Go with me now to Matthew 21. That was my problem, as I wasn't going back far enough. Matthew 21. Verse number 1. It's interesting that in the next 7 chapters of Matthew, all of this is what happened in Jesus' life, these next 7 chapters, after the triumphal entry, Matthew 21 through 28, happened in Jesus' life before he was ascended. Here we go. Matthew 21, verse 1. You might say, Pastor, you're not teaching us anything. No, we're reading for the conceptual understanding of the triumphal entry. There's great truth there. And we cannot any longer say, well, if I get it, good. If I don't, good. It doesn't matter. Jesus just loves me. No, you got to get it. Because every bit of this helps us understand our place in God. All right? Let's see. So, let me just take a look here. I did this once before. So, Matthew chapter 20. This is all Jesus on the day that he rode in. As they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed, and he healed the blind man. Here we go, chapter 21. So this is a long day for Jesus. All right. When they drew near Jerusalem and come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, come to the village opposite you. Immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose her, loose them, bring them to me. So he said, bring them both. And if anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, set him on them, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees, spread them on the road. The multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, so when he gets done, look at what happens. So he gets done doing that. Verse 12, Jesus went into the temple of God, drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He got off the donkey, said, all right, let's go to the synagogue, boys, or the temple. And he walked in there and drove out all those wicked people. It is written, my house. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Look at 14. This is all in one day. Then the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things they did, the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, they were indignant. And he said to them, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Then he left them and went out of the city, and he lodged there. So I want you to see this. From, it looks like, it goes clear back to chapter 19. And all of this happened on the same day. Jesus teaches on celibacy. Jesus blesses little children. The rich young ruler comes. God, all things are possible. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. Greatness is in serving. Two blind men receive their sight, the triumphal entry. Jesus cleanses the temple. He heals many people that are, they're in bad shape. And then he says, all right, that's good for one day. Let's go. And on his way out of the city, he curses the fig tree. Let's keep reading. We read Matthew. Let's read Mark now. Mark 11, 1 through 10. Mark 11, 1 through 10. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage, wait, hold on a second. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, Mark 10, 32, they're on the road going to Jerusalem. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came and said, make us the great ones. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus when they're in Jericho, and they're on their way to Jerusalem. And then when they got near Jerusalem, he said, verse 2, I'm in Mark 11, 2, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered, you'll find a coat tied on which no one is set. Loose it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. Now, wait. There's no salvation in knowing all the events that happened on the day. It just makes for a better understanding of everything that was going on in Jesus on that day. It wasn't just Jesus, you know, got up in the morning and the boys planned a picnic and, oh, here's a donkey. Right in, Jesus. Woo, glory be to God. Let's have a picnic and then we'll go out. That's not what happened. And the more we understand, the more revelation that God can bring to us. Right? Four. Mark 11, 4. So they went their way, found the colt tied outside on the street, and they loosed it. Some of those said, what are you doing? Loosen the colt. And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Many spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down leafy branches from the trees, spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Now you got to think about, what's the centurions doing in all this? They're like, uh-oh. They are crowning him king. A couple of weeks before this, Jesus has to get away from the crowd because he said he saw them coming to make him king because of his miracles. 11, Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. When he looked around at all the things, the hour was already late. He went to Bethany with the 12. All right? And I want to keep reading. All right? Verse 12. The next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from afar the fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Oh, it was the next day he cursed the fig tree. For it was not the season for fig. And in response, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it as he was talking to the tree. We're supposed to talk to trees. You're supposed to talk to anything that God tells you to speak to. Speak to the mountains to be removed. Speak to the trees to be removed. I mean, that one guy down there in Florida, I don't remember who it was now. I forget who tells the story, but somebody tells the story. Brother Copeland. God sent him on a special process, I think, to go to Florida. And he got there, and the man said, Brother Copeland, we're believing God for a miracle. We bought this property, and they're telling us it's a brown field, which means it's contaminated. They can't use it. They can't build a building on it. He goes, well, let's go speak over it. And they'd already bought it. They went down and spoke over it. They had another soil sample done. And they're like, man, it's the greatest soil ever. Yeah, you can build a place here. And the state worker actually called the pastor and said, how did you do that? You want to do it in a couple other places for us? Turned what they call a brown field into solid, stable place where they can build a building. So you speak to whatever God gives you to speak to. Well, verse 15, Jesus cleansed the temple, and they began to drive out those who bought and sold. Now let's keep moving. Triumphal entry. We're going to one more place, John 12. Now you might say, Pastor, what's this all about? Just a minute, you're going to see it. I got to get this done. I guess I've probably done this every year. John 12. All right. Now let's read this, because this helps us. 6 days before the Passover. This is John 12, 1. 6 days before the Passover. Thank you, Brother Terry, for explaining it to us. Passover started on Wednesday. So that would have been, excuse me. That would have been the previous Thursday. Yeah. Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was. They made him suffer. Martha served both Lazarus. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Mary took a pound of very costly oil, spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. The whole house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. This is 6 days before Passover. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" You always can tell the wicked when they're wanting to give everything to the poor, but their heart is wicked and they're stealing from the purse. All right? This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money back box, and he used to take what was put in it. Jesus said, "Let her alone. She kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." This is 6 days. Great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they also might see Lazarus, who they had even raised from the dead. The chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death. These religious people are bent on killing somebody. Sound like any religious people you know today? Yeah. Because on account of them, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus because Lazarus came back from the dead. I mean, Lazarus was stinking, and there was a whole crowd that day that saw Lazarus come out of the grave, and there was no way they could deny it. Lazarus died, and he was put in the tomb, and he came out. I'm sure Jesus had a Polaroid right there, probably did a selfie with Lazarus, and so it's probably documented in heaven, even though you and I don't see it. We know it's documented. 12.
A Polaroid?
What?
A Polaroid?
Yeah.
An iPhone.
Well, it was probably an "I see this" in its wait, you ready? Look at the camera. An iPhone. He saw I. Right. Anyways, check. I'm in John 12:12. The next day, a great multitude had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and took branches of the palm trees and went to meet him, cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, that they had to be done. These things they had, that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done the signs. The Pharisees said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The Pharisees were rebuking each other because we can't stop what he's doing. Yeah, we know what you're saying, John. Now, 20. There were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip from Bethsaida of Galilee and asked him, saying, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip came and said, "Jesus, the Greeks are here." And Jesus said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him will my Father love." Then he said, "My soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this earth. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." People who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. People answered him, we have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Then these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who's believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, that I would heal them. 41. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. See, all of this is happening after the triumphal entry and up to the Passover, which began. Jesus went in with the disciples on Tuesday, the Passover, went out into the Garden of Gethsemane and began to pray. And now it's Wednesday morning. Well, let's see. Let's do enough. Let's let that be enough. Now, how do we put all of this into what we've been studying? We've been studying spiritual authority. All right? And one of our main verses is Matthew 28, where Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye. Jesus said, authority to me, go ye. Well, Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, freely have received, freely give. Speak in new tongues. If you drink anything deadly, it will not hurt you. If any of you are taking medication in the day we live, you need to speak that verse. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. You need to speak that over that medication before you take it every day, because there's some deadly stuff in there. Yeah, Jesus won. Amen, John. Now, I want you to see this, because Jesus says a very important thing, principle, at the beginning of his ministry. All right? So let's go read it. John chapter 3. This is so good. We studied spiritual authority with Brother Terry. He taught us, think like God, talk like God, and you'll act like God. God said to Brother Terry Mize, meditate in Joshua 1:8, Jeremiah 1:12. I don't have them all memorized. I'm getting close to them. They were all set of verses showing you and I the authority that we get to walk in. Now watch this. John chapter 3. And it's going to be a good way to pull all of this together tonight. And we talked about this last night. And then we read Romans and talked about Paul or Abraham and circumcision. And Abraham believed God before circumcision and circumcision. And you can't be born again by circumcision. Abraham was considered righteous before circumcision. Even though God said circumcise, it's not the circumcision that gets you into heaven, all right? We dealt with all that. But now watch this. Because the scribes and Pharisees just said, we can't get nothing done. And he's changing the whole world. Watch. John chapter 3. Is Sister Kathy Angaroni with us? Kathy? Remember, God said you would be healed by reading the scripture. So if you can come and read with us, we'd be glad to have you. Rebecca, thank you for being with us. I don't know if you're still here. Of course, I know situations like these and how this all works. If you're still with us, type in there, and we'll pause and pray for your family. Amen. Let's pray for Sister Rebecca's family. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak over Rebecca and Christine and all of Adam's family. We don't know. I don't know this family, Lord. But you've never missed one day of Rebecca's life. You've never missed one day of Christina's life. You've never missed one day of Adam's life, and I don't know the rest of the names to use, but you've never missed a day of their life. Their name is written on a book in heaven. All their days are in this book. Adam's days are in this book. And we declare those days must be accomplished. Our faith and our hope is not in medicine. Our faith is in what you said, Jesus. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 4, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Because God is with them by the anointing of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus, according to the word of Almighty God, in Jesus' mighty name. Glorify yourself and your name in this situation. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. And that will be our faith and our prayer in Jesus' name. We love you, Rebecca and Christine. Thank you for being a part of this family. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we may go as far as 21, but we're going to mainly hit 1 through 15. Now, make sure you're getting all the key figures in what we're reading. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. know, Rebecca, when you said that, that reminded me of a story. And I'm going to tell it right now. Always, 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 always. Be careful what you say at the side of a bed of anyone who may be in a coma. Always be careful. There's a young couple in my previous ministry before this. And the young lady had a very hard time beating drug addiction, and therefore she wasn't healthy at all. And they had come and shocked her, you know, and took her to the hospital and got heartbeat again. Took her to a larger community, a bigger hospital. Of course, we went and prayed for her and all of that. And her husband called me one day and said, Pastor, there's no brain activity at all. And on this certain day, they're going to unplug her from the life support. And I said, well, brother, I'd like to have a prayer meeting with her. I mean, I've not done this for everybody, but I was instructed in this situation to do that. And so this same Blog Talk Radio channel, matter of fact, you could go back far enough. If you need a date, you could go back in this Blog Talk Radio channel and you could hear that prayer service. And I just called a bunch of prayer warriors together. And he took his cell phone, laid it on the pillow beside her. She's in a coma. And I don't know, probably an hour and a half, we had a prayer meeting and prayed over and spoke the word of God, sang some worship songs and prayed and spoke the word. And we had a prayer meeting. And so then he called me and he said, well, Pastor, tomorrow morning they're going to unplug her from the life support. And so if it would be all right, I would like to have you with me when that happens. And I'm like, sure, I'll be there. So I go down in the morning and I meet him in the waiting room, you know, and we go up to the room and we prayed for a little bit first. I'm like, you all right? He goes, well, I'm as all right as a man can be that's getting ready to do this. But he said something like, let's see what God does. We walked in the room and she sat up and said, hey guys, how you doing? Straight out of a coma. Hadn't even unplugged the life support. Just sat up and said, hey guys, how you doing? And people came running from everywhere. And I don't remember, she lived another 2 or 3 years after that and lived in that testimony. Wow, it was a life that they were living. And the enemy just fought them hard. And then she told them one day, you know, I'm getting ready to go to heaven. They're like, no, Mom, you're not going to do that. We already prayed you back once. She goes, no, I'm going to go to heaven. And it was a couple of days later, she was gone. She was in heaven. Laid down on the floor of their house and just went to heaven. But we saw her come back from a coma like 15 minutes before they were going to pull the plug. So I want to say this to give people courage. God very specifically speaks life and life more abundantly. And there's always questions that you have, always. Those of you that show up early on at Zoom, you know, time to play some different preachers, and we've studied some things. And tonight we had Bill Johnson on at an Andrew Womack conference somewhere. And he was talking about when his wife went to heaven, and it's pretty serious. Someone had prayed and prayed and prayed for thousands and thousands of people who were healed as she prayed for him. And didn't beat the cancer. What now? She's in heaven. That's all we can say. There's a certain side of it you don't ever get to know. And so, glory be to God. Sister Rebecca said, I'm fully expecting my grandson to come back with a fully functional brain. And listen, Psalm 139, fulfill all the days in his book. The law of Amen. Now, back to John chapter 3. Nicodemus said, you came from God. Let's go back to John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless he's born again. Now watch this. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's your mother's water sack you were born from, and the Spirit. Notice that's capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. All right? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you got to be, you only have access to heaven if you're a human. Demons don't have access. They're not born. That's why Satan has no authority on this earth. He cannot be born of a woman, and mankind is the ones with authority on this earth. Once you're born again, now you have the name of Jesus, but you not only have his name, you're born into the kingdom of God. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, minister of reconciliation, an ambassador for Jesus and for the kingdom of heaven. Your citizenship changes and you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. God Almighty comes and makes his abode on the inside of you. See, it's not just I got born again and walked the aisle. It's not what it is. It's so much more. Watch what Jesus said. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh, that's this, is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit. Your flesh isn't born again. This flesh won't be saved till this body's taken to heaven. It's your spirit man. Is renewed. You become a species of being that never existed. Now Nicodemus doesn't know this. Keep reading. Verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You can hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Did God come through the window when you were born again? You're born again in a church? Were you standing at an altar? I mean, the first time I prayed the prayer of salvation that I remember was kneeling at my mom and dad's bed. But did God show up in her house? So the wind blows, and you may not be able to tell where it's coming from. Keep reading. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Now look at Jesus' answer. Because Jesus' answer is the same to Nicodemus that it was to the scribes and Pharisees at the end of his ministry. Jesus said, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Hello. Got to be born of water. That gives you legal access here. You got to be born of spirit. That gives you now all the authority of heaven. As he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. Keep reading. So Jesus straightens him up. Nicodemus, you're a teacher. And you don't know this. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. We and our is Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. All of them are capitalized. Now, Jesus just said to Nicodemus, come on. You just called me a rabbi. You just said I was from God because of the works I'm doing. Look at verse 12. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe them, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man. Look at what it says. Who is in heaven? Jesus just said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not be able to see, visualize, conceptualize, compartmentalize, understand the kingdom. If you're not born, if you don't get this spirit, man, born again, you won't even be able to see the kingdom. That's why people that are not born again, they don't understand it. Ready? It doesn't make sense. Keep reading. I'm going to read 12 again. If I told you earthly things about wind and birth, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he, capital He, who came down. That's Jesus. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now he just said it again, that he is in heaven. Where did that other verse go? The Son of Man who is in heaven. 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, we've been talking about spiritual authority. Let's go back to verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe those things or in me, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Excuse me. Let me take a drink. Think about this. All the way to the end of my life, God is always listening. Yes, he has all the answers. Now watch this. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he looks at Nicodemus, who obviously wants to know the truth, and tells him, If I tell you earthly things and you do not understand them, how am I going to tell you spiritual things if you can't even understand the earthly things? Think about everything in Jesus' life. He made it correlate to something you and I can see in the natural. If you can see it in the natural, you can experience it in the supernatural. Jesus said, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, then immediately he goes in to tell Nicodemus, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, Jesus, will not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son to this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you're listening to words of condemnation, you're not getting them from Jesus. If you're listening to words of encouragement and life and strength and you're going to make it, those are from Jesus. If you're listening to words that's always reminding you of the sins of your past, you are not listening to Jesus. Stop listening to those words. Stop calling him Mr. Devil. Stop giving our enemy any kind of authority in your life in any way, shape, or form. Don't do that. He don't have no power over you. Zero. Jesus lays it out so simple. Nicodemus, you got to be able to see this natural in order to enjoy the spiritual. Because he said, I'm getting ready to tell you that whosoever believes in me will not perish and have everlasting life. But there's no substance to what I'm getting ready to tell you except faith. And then faith is the substance. Because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Now go with me real quick. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable. Of the sower. Matter of fact, let's not go to Matthew. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8 are all the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. We're going to Mark. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, totally lost my John 3. Come back, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 3. Don't lose your place in John, chapter 3. There you go. Now, we're in Mark 4. Oh, we got about 10 minutes. Mark 4, watch this. Mark 4, the parable of the sower. I'm in verse 1. And this is verses 1 through 30, if somebody will put those verses in. Now watch. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus. If I tell you natural things, and you, I'm going to read it exactly how he said it. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how then will you believe if I tell you heavenly things, things that are of the other side? You got to see it in the natural. And as soon as you start seeing it in the natural, the supernatural is going to make sense. This is a major point for you and I to have spiritual authority. And what does Jesus use? Something everybody knows. Seed, time, harvest. You may never have grown a garden, but you know somebody's growing peas or you wouldn't have them in the grocery store. You know somebody's got an apple tree or you wouldn't be able to buy a bag of apples. You know, somebody somewhere has got a broccoli farm, or you wouldn't be able to get your head of broccoli or cauliflower or those cucumbers or kiwi or whatever else it is you get when you go to the grocery store. You know, somebody had to plant a seed. Somebody had to water it. Somebody had to take care of it, get rid of the weeds, and somebody had to harvest it. That's natural that every one of us understands. And look at what Jesus said, Mark 4:1. He began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So they got in the boat, sat on the sea. He was using the water as an amplification process. And the whole multitude was on the land facing him. He taught them many things by parables and said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And here comes the parable of the sower. Verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all these things come in parables. Why? So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. What is he saying? God's not saying he doesn't want them saved, but in every group of people that comes, there's some who believe and they grab a hold of it and they go into greater revelation. And there's some who stand there like, well, this, I don't know. This doesn't even make sense. But see, now they're not held accountable for that information that they got, and their judgment day is going to be tougher on them. God wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he paints it in a picture. And if you want to know the mysteries of the kingdom, you will seek them out. Hebrews 11:6, he rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Proverbs, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it's the glory of the king. Who's the kings? You and me. It's the glory of a king to search it out. And God says he rewards them who diligently seek him. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 2, seek for wisdom and understanding like you would for silver and gold. Seek after it. Call out to it. Beckon it to come to you. Jesus said, when you find a pearl of great price, you go and sell everything you have so you can buy that field and have that pearl. See, God made it very simple. Our promotion into a greater understanding of him is that we've got to get these natural things down that Jesus is teaching us so that we have the ability to receive the supernatural, spiritual things. The things of heaven are so much greater and grander than the things of earth, but you got to get the principle. Now watch this. Verse 13. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand any of the parables? What did he say to Nicodemus? If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? I know, John, it's amazing, isn't it? God wants you and I to see these human natural things and get a hold of them and master them so that we can have the supernatural things. Watch this. Every one of us understands sowing and reaping. Every one of us know that an apple tree, you don't plant an apple tree seed this year and next year have 25 bushels of apple on it. We know that. You may not even be an apple orchard person, but you know that tree's not going to produce that fast. But you also know, and so do I, that if we take care of that apple tree, we keep the deer off it. That's, you know, where you guys live. Here, if we keep the deer and the antelope and the moose and the elk and any other thing that wants to come eat it off of that apple tree, it could actually grow apples. And you don't see them out in the prairie. They don't make it. But here in town, you'll see apple trees. See, you can see that natural. Therefore, now you can understand the supernatural. The seed that we plant is the word of God. Let's see it. Mark 4:26. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. What's the ground? Your heart, your soil. What's the seed? And the seed is the word of God. I thought I said that right there. It doesn't say it right there. Somewhere it says, and the seed is the word of God. You and I, divided by 2 plus 1. Amen, John. Watch. What did Jesus just say to us? Your life is a garden. Get out the stones, the hard things of life. You can't grow them. The ground can, if you ever picked rocks in the farm field for the hay field, that ground, you put seed in the ground, that ground is designed to bring anything you put in it alive. That's why if you don't have a treated pole, pretty soon the bottom of that fence post rots off. Why? The ground is trying to make that chunk of wood live. And it'll work it right off. That's why if you pick the rocks in your hay field 5 years ago, I'm going to tell you right now, the next time you till it up, plant some corn, you're going to have to go in there and pick it again. And there's going to be big rocks that have come up. Why? Because the ground is trying to grow whatever's put in it. And your heart is that soil. So what do you have to do? Get out the rocks, hard things. Get out the thorns, pull them out, the weeds. Till up the wayside. What's that? Dirt that's just been trodden down by religiosity, religionism, and things that really don't make sense, have no spiritual backing in the word of God. And yet somebody told you to believe it, wrote some beautiful songs, made you cry, made your heart feel whatever. And you know what? Never brought you any life. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? It is the power of God to salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, if I've told you these natural things and you don't understand them, I don't understand the spiritual things. 3 years later, he's still rebuking the Pharisees because he showed them natural thing after natural thing after natural thing, tens of thousands of miracles right in front of their eyes, and they did not choose to believe the spiritual things. Now, Jesus died, he rose again, went to heaven, and after Pentecost, many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Why? All of a sudden it made sense. Holy Spirit fell. The disciples were filled with power. Wait, how do you get the Holy Spirit? You can't even see him. Well, when you use faith to be born again, now you get to live of Jesus Christ. All right, I got to show it to you because we got new people. Galatians 2:20. Write this verse down. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. We were buried with him in baptism. We raised back to life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that's this stuff. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Watch it. Watch. You put that seed in the ground. You don't know what happens to it. Ground works it. You know, when you hear kids in school, they put them in little cups and you got to watch the seed open up and the little sprout begin to grow. What were they showing you? They were showing you how a seed grows. But right here out of the Bible, Jesus said, unless you put that seed in the ground and it dies, it can't come back to life. Jesus said, if I've shown you the natural and you don't understand this natural, how are you going to understand the spiritual when I begin to show it to you? Say it with me. Jesus, help me understand the natural. Amen. Amen. And amen. Help me understand the natural so that I can get a hold of the supernatural in my life. Now, here's the awesome thing about most of you that's here. Many of you that's here. You've already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to pray a prayer in a minute. And that prayer will lead you into faith in Jesus. That's what this whole program's about. And then, as you're here, we'll begin to continually teach you about that faith in Jesus, how to grow it and develop it. And the next thing you know, you're going to be a person of greater faith than when you came. Here's the reality about the kingdom of God. You don't have to start in first grade and go through second grade and go through third grade and go through fourth grade. And 12 years later, you finally understand something in God. According to God Almighty, he rewards those who diligently seek him. And if you want the understanding of God, you can have that understanding right now today. You got to open up this book and you got to begin to read, study this book. Listen, put this thing down. Put your phone down. Put it down. The biggest distraction you have. Soil works in God's time, yeah. Like multiplied, manifest abundantly. Paul went from killing Christians in Jesus' name to preaching in 3 days. And then they told him, Brother Saul, we better send you away or these guys are going to kill you. And they had to. And then 17 years later, he came back. Change the whole world. You and I have right in front of us. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I'm going to show you the natural things. Receive that. Get an understanding of that. And then you'll get the spiritual. This parable, the parable of the sower, it's the most important parable of the whole New Testament Jesus teaching. Why? This is the parable of sow this word down in your heart. It'll begin to produce a harvest that will change your life forever. You might say, Pastor, I don't know what words to sow in my heart. Send me an email. I'll give you some words to study. I'll give you a video. Write the verses down in the video. Write them on a piece of paper. And begin to speak them out loud. And you will begin to have that harvest in your life. Think about Jesus. He's getting ready to to die, to give himself. And he cleanses the temple one more time. Why? He's showing a natural process that you bunch of thieves, get out of my father's house. And then what's he do? He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He helps the blind to see. And then he goes back and he sleeps. He curses the fig tree. Teaches the disciples one more time. If you will speak to the mountain, whatever you say to that mountain is going to come to pass. Don't go to God telling him how big your problem is. Point your finger at that mountain and tell it how big God is by the word. Just say, just simple. Mountain, let's say you got debt. Say, mountain of debt, be removed. That is literally what you say. You have loved ones that are not saved, what do you say? Billy, Susie, Tommy, and Mary, be saved. We studied last night. God, who is hope itself, calls those things which be not as though they are. See, that's why Jesus said, if you don't understand how to take a piece of corn, put it in the ground, cover it up, water it. The ground is going to work it. Stalk's going to begin to grow. If you don't understand that, you're not going to understand me saying to you, be born again, be filled with the Spirit, memorize the word. You won't understand it. But if you can understand seed, diamond, harvest, then you can go to God and say, all right, I understand this. And then he'll give you some effort. Some of you don't realize that coming here every day, you're sowing the greatest seed in your life you've ever sown in your life. Greatest seed. Seed of faithfulness. Seed of commitment. The seed of your supply, whether it's finances. God tells you to sow here, sow. You gotta obey what he says. If he tells you to give your time, give your time. He's talking to you about something to do, then text me. Of course, I'm gonna hear what God's saying. I'm gonna pray with you, and we're gonna see God work in your life. Be like the Pharisees that says, "Wow, we can see that, but it doesn't match our spiritual indoctrination." Stop it. Get this book out. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, now lives inside of you as soon as you're born again. Your life will never be the same. Well, I just want you to know, I can see very clearly what I just said, whether or not it came out effectively. Amen, Brother John. Amen. Thank you, brother. That's a good thing. John knows. I met Brother Wayner Dude Toombs, that's Brother John. I met him carrying drywall into the university, the community college right over here. One day he had gout really bad in his hand. He couldn't hardly hold the drywall in his hand. And Brother Tim said, hey, come pray for this man. I brought my anointing oil. I anointed him with oil. Prayed a real deep philosophical prayer, something to the fact of, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my brother John. I don't know him, but you've never missed a day of his life. We call it done in Jesus' name. It was a real big, long, philosophical prayer. It's not about that. It's about that man had gout in his hand, and it was stopping him from doing his work, and gout is not of God. And John believes in God. I believe in God. Gout, get out, just like Sister Rebecca's praying for her grandson, in the name of Jesus, life to Adam tonight, not tomorrow, tonight, life. Everybody just say it. Life to Adam, has what a name? Life to Adam. Life to Adam. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. That you said your word. Your yoke is easy. And your burden is light. You said, I sent my word and healed their diseases. Thank you, Jesus, that often in your ministry on earth, you interrupted funerals and brought people back to life. Thank you. We speak it for Adam. Thank you that you helped every one of us to be born again. And just like we can see the severe, amazing intricacies of what our Father God did on Holy Week when you gave your life. And we realize that same God and Father now lives on the inside of us as a redemptive, reconciling, empowering force of heaven. We receive you, Father. We receive you, Jesus. We receive you, Holy Spirit, into our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Interesting. I can tell you're here, Ron. You got this while I was praying. I can tell you're here, Ron. And God is speaking to you since you found us and met me in such a marvelous way. You don't even understand why he would even love you. He wouldn't love any of us if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. But he loves us all because he made us. He has a big plan for your life. He has a really big plan for your life. So trust him in Jesus' mighty name. Now, wonderful wife just walked in the room. Hi, wife of mine.
Hi, everybody. Good to see you all here. Of course, I was on for a little while, and then I got bumped out.
We made it. Then you did not even spill the coffee. It was amazing. Now, it's time to receive communion. If you've never been born again, right now we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. We're going to read the verses, pray the prayer of salvation, and receive communion together. Now, if you think about it, we're coming to that time of year when Jesus gave his life. This is it. This is this week. We are now within Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday. We're within 4 days. Had to count backwards. We're in 4 days of when Jesus gave his life. So this is an amazing time of year. And tomorrow is known as Palm Sunday. I guess it's today. I'm going to learn this because I enjoy this. I enjoy coming to a greater understanding of God. Today is known as Palm Sunday. It started at sundown.
Oh, that's right. That's
right. Did I say that right? Don't worry about it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I could have sat there for 10 minutes right now meditating in that, and I don't want to do that. I want us to get to communion. Good time it is. Wow, what a night. We covered a serious amount of territory tonight. But that's all right. That's how we do it every time we come here. See, if you're like, well, what is this program? Well, back in COVID, in the pandemic, I saw some of my friends just going straight to hell, and it bothered me really bad because there was nobody teaching. They had what are you teaching them? And so I just said one night to Sister Leanne, I'm like, well, that's it. I'm going online. And if somebody comes, fine. If they don't, at least they won't be able to stay in heaven. I didn't ever see Preacher Man preaching to me. I was there preaching. We did it. We have done it now every night since March 23rd of 2020. We've been on here almost every single day. We've missed a few days, two or three. But almost every single day since March 20th, 23rd of 2020, we've been here preaching the Word of God, teaching you faith. Now, wait. Not some new, great, amazing revelation. Continually going through the foundation and establishing new people in the ways of faith. And of course, God's given us new revelation as we go. But the point is that we show up here on purpose to learn the Word of God, understand the ways of God. And God said by the Holy Spirit in Psalm 103, God made his ways known to Israel, his acts to Israel, and his ways to Moses. You and I get to know his ways and then why he does what he does. That's what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus tonight. You might not have understood anything I say. I encourage you to go back and listen to that, this teaching all over again. It'll be a blessing to your life. We have a program that's called Read the Word, where I'm actually reading through the Bible chronologically. It's on a YouTube playlist where you can go and start right at the beginning. Right now, you can start the beginning in the book of Genesis and go all the way through to Revelation in this one YouTube playlist. And it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Here we go. My goodness. Mrs. Pastor is better and easier to look at. Love you too. That's John. And yes, she is a good cook. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus said, Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his burial, resurrection, ascension, baptism of the Holy Spirit, his redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, here's the assignment. Here's what we got to do. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love. God's perfect love has been perfected among us in this. What is that? That we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we. World. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment goes with it. There is no fear in God's perfect love. I bind trauma. I bind torment. I bind fear in everyone's life that's here. Thank you, Father, that you give me the power to speak those words and release people from fear. It's done. Pray this prayer of salvation with me. We have it on a rolling screen here so that everybody can say the prayer and be blessed by it. All right. Give me a second. All of my apps work all of the time. Is that just something? All of my apps work all of the time. All right. Pray this prayer of salvation with me. You might say, Pastor, what is this? If you've never been born again, in order to receive communion, you got to become a part of the body of Christ. So that means you pray the prayer of salvation. We know what to help you pray. So in the matter of 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. Pray this prayer out loud, wherever you are. I guess maybe if you're in a library, you might not ought to pray it out loud there, but it doesn't matter. Pray it out loud, and they'll kick you out, but at least you'll preach the gospel while you're getting saved. You'll be right with God in 2 minutes. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God. You rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness. Woo! What happened? Sorry about that. Just let everybody get caught up. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me, and I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pause and shout. Wait. Wait, you might be like, I don't know about all that shouting stuff, Pastor. I know. But listen, here's the revelation of it. This is the revelation of it. God just did the most amazing work on the inside of your life that's ever happened. You have never known a day. You have never known a day in your life ever that was as free as that is as free as what you are right now today. Jesus just came in because you said, Jesus, come into my life. Now, people say, Pastor, what if I didn't feel anything? Don't look for a feeling. But you should experience life and light coming into you. Why? Because Jesus just came in. And like we just prayed, he now fills your life completely every day. And he's going to be there. Now watch this. See this part that says, fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire? That's what happened to the church on the day of Pentecost. And then this is the result. Number one, you live in power. Number two, you understand the word of God. Number three, you have the ability to pray in your heavenly language, which is a which is a heavenly language that only heaven and heaven's angels understand. And when you do those three things, it causes you to live a successful life every day. All of that just happened right there because you prayed that prayer. Now, click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and stick with us. We've got over 1,000 videos that can help you walk with God. Some of them are fun. Some of them are deep. Some of them are just absolutely, well, every one of them are filled with revelation. And if you send me an email, my email address is right down there in the notes, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, HG for Holy Ghost, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. I will help you come to the knowledge of who God is. I really will. He's not some weird thing way out in the sky. He don't have a club trying to beat you down. He now lives inside of you, leading you from the inside. That's an amazing thing. Now, we're going to receive our communion elements, and I want you to receive them with us. If you just prayed that prayer, you are now born again. You're part of the body of Christ. So anytime on the face of this earth, wherever you may be in a church, and they begin to take communion, you probably have to ask if you can take it with them, but I don't. I just go up and take it just like everybody else, because that's Jesus' broken body and blood, and I'm a member of the body of Christ. I've taken it with the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Catholics and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and the Charismatics and the Episcopals, non-denominationals. I've taken communion in the bar, in a restaurant, and out in the truck stop, out in the parking lot. We took communion at the big statue of Jesus in northern Michigan. I've taken communion in a lot of places. And we've taken communion right here over 1,000 times. How amazing is that? We want you to join with us. Ready? I just got preach and minister all over me. Ready? Hold your elements up and let's pray. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your body broken. This juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of all you did for me. Pray this out loud with me. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. You endured the cross, despised the shame, called it all joy. Lift up the cup of blessing. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word. In remembrance of your blood shed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's sing the song we used to sing way back at the beginning. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Glory, hallelujah.
I love that song.
I love that song, and I really liked it when Brother Andre Crouch sang it. He just sings it with another force that I'm learning. Not quite.
Do you know that he had his special talents from the Lord as a blessing special, that if he tried playing music or singing something that wasn't to the glory of the Lord, that his fingers would freeze up, that he couldn't touch the piano, he couldn't play the piano, and he couldn't sing?
Really?
Strictly, it was a power from God, a gift from God for his glory.
Wow.
And it was amazing to me. But it's a good lesson.
Yeah, it is.
That everything we do that's good is from God.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Sister Phyllis, let's read our closing verses out of Jude. Let's do Ephesians tonight. Ephesians 3:15 through. Let's do Ephesians chapter 3, and let's do 15 through 21, I think is what it is.
You want me to do the few verses in 3 first?
No, I want you to do Ephesians 3, 14 through 21.
And then go back to...
No, that's all I want is Ephesians 3, 14 through 21.
All right, then. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Come on, Jesus.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, in man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen.
And amen.
And amen. Thank you. I like that verses because Paul said the Holy Spirit is going to show you every side of him you need to see if you'll just seek him. Brother Hagin said when he began to pray that prayer you just heard, every day, many times in a day, his life transformed forever. And his understanding of the Word of God grew in a manner he never even knew was possible. And that's from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. Thank God for mighty men like him. Well, that's all we got. We'll see you tomorrow morning. It's not all we got. It's all we're going to say.
Oh, there's so much more I'd love to chat with you about, but it's getting late. I'll see you in the morning.
Yep, we'll see you in the morning tomorrow at noon Eastern. We call it 1 hour of faith. I'm not sure whether I'm going to be riding the donkey or Sister Leanne will be riding the donkey into Williston.
Really? I want to see that then. Okay, absolutely.
All right, so my donkey's called Old Blue. He's a Dodge pickup. Anyway, we welcome you. We welcome you. Thank you for being here with us. And this is new information to you tonight. Man, get it out and listen to it. Because it is life-transforming what God's been speaking to us right here throughout this last week. And
I love the truth in the scripture. The truth in the scripture is so much more beautiful and wonderful and amazing than all of the... quick little explanations that don't make sense.
Yeah, all that. You know, there's a lot of
falsehoods.
Well, yeah, but there, in the Bible, there's a lot of religious. What's the word I'm looking for? Very important religious processes. You know, just like Brother Terry just gave us such a very quick, simple understanding of all the feasts. Well, in order to understand all those feasts, you got to read the first five books of the Bible. So that's a serious amount of reading. But,
rules and regulations were very important back then.
Yeah, they were. And you know, it's very interesting that people begin to worship the process rather than the one the process is about. If all you ever do is pray just to be obedient to prayer, your prayers will be dry and stale. If your prayer is communication with God, nobody will ever be able to keep you from prayer because it's just communication with God. And the reading of your Bible, if you have to read two chapters a day or else, then it's just going to be reading. But if you sit down and say, this is the living, breathing word of God, and if I read one verse, God will be proud as long as I'm in it and I'm getting an in-depth understanding. So we encourage you. And thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' mighty name. Blog Talk Radio, we love you. Thank you for being here with us. Share this with everybody in your nation, wherever you may be. If you want to get this nation, this broadcast into your native language, if you get in contact with me, God's given me a plan to show us how to do it. And we would love to do it because we really would like to get these words into people's ears that may not be able to understand English. They would understand the native language. And until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this? We love you.
We love you.
God loves you.
Lord.